Welcome to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast, where we bring you sermons from our teaching team at Flood Church Lilongwe, Malawi. For more information, you can go to floodchurch.com.
Habakkuk 3, verse 17 to 19. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I'll rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights for the director of music on my stringed instrument. In our house, you find two drawers that we call the man's drawer. In that drawer, you'll find actually random things. You know, I still have an iPod shuffle, old batteries and cords of all kinds. And the thing is, I actually believe that these things will be useful. And I have to be clear, actually, that in our house, there's only one person who believes that these things will be useful, and that person is actually me. But, you know, you have no idea when you have that feeling of victory, when it comes to, that time when you're looking for something that you need, and you go in the man's drawer and you find exactly the thing that you need. And it's absolutely beautiful when you have, that thing. I remember one day we were looking for a cord and we looked in the shops and we couldn't find it. But we went to the man's drawer and boom, right there, we found what we were looking for. Now, some of you might be saying, oh, you know, you are hiding from, keeping these things in the man's drawer, but you're actually a hoarder. Maybe that might be true, that I'm actually a hoarder, but actually I believe that every single one of us do hold on to things. We are hoarders, most especially for things that we find to be most valuable to us. The things that you find most valuable to you, you hold on to it a bit longer. However, the opposite is also true, that sometimes we can hold on to things but neglect the things that we should be valuing the most. And we are prone to hold on to stuff but neglect to hold on to family. We are prone to hold on to stuff but neglect investing in relationships. We are prone to hold on to stuff but neglect to show love to the lowly. We are prone to hold on to stuff but neglect and appreciate those that serve us or bless us. Or sometimes we hold on to stuff and neglect the God we claim we love. And we have this belief in us that when we hold on to something, it's going to give us some, significance. Or when we don't hold on to something, we're going to lose something. That's what we kind of like believe. But, today I wanted us to kind of like, communicate this truth. And if you don't hear anything today, I want you to get this, that your greatest joy is not in what you have, but in who you have. Your greatest joy is not in what you have lost, but in whom you are found. In Habakkuk chapter 3, we come face to face with this man who was just being real with God on what was going on. Habakkuk grew up in a time when the kingdom of Babylon was on the rise, and there was a lot of injustices around him. And he was wrestling with these things, wrestling, how is God good when there is so much evil and suffering around him? So he laments to God. And Habakkuk is not a type of prophet where who is communicating to the people. He's not a type of prophet who is saying things to the people on behalf of God. He's actually observing of what's happening around him. And then he's communicating those things to God. And he was just seeing a lot of injustices around him. And he says, God, can you please do something about this injustice? And God says, you know what? I'm going to do something about this. And what I will do is that I will send in the Babylonians. And these Babylonians will come and deal with the children of Israel, to end these injustices. And Habakkuk was not really happy with that answer. He was like, what? Why are you even, getting the Babylonians to come and bring justice? They themselves are unjust people. They neglect their women. They neglect their children. They do more injustices than the Israelites. And you know that time when you, pray for something, that God will do something, and then he gives you a different answer? and this is what it is. And Habakkuk was not really at peace with this. But then eventually in chapter 3, he had to trust God. He had to trust that God will, actually bring peace and justice. So he ends chapter 3 with a hopeful prayer. And in verse 18 and part of 19, he says, "Yet I'll rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength." And he says he will rejoice even though there is drought. He will rejoice even though he doesn't have a job. He will rejoice even though he is pure. He will rejoice even though there is no security of where the food will come from. He will rejoice in God even though there is no security of where tuition will come from. Because the presence of hardship is not the absence of God. The presence of hardship is not the absence of God. And because you have experienced an ending in your own life, and that pain that you feel, that hardship that you feel, does not mean that God is absent. Because your greatest joy is not in what you have, but in who you have. Your greatest joy is not in what you have lost, but in whom you are found. But how do you get to that place? How can you say, "I still rejoice in God, even though I do not have this. I still rejoice in God." And what attitude do you need to have? And we need to have a different attitude. And the attitude that we need to have is that I receive what's given to me with gratitude, and I lay down what's taken from me with gratitude. I receive what's given to me with gratitude, and I lay down what's taken from me with gratitude. In other words, God gives good gifts, to people, and we must receive those gifts with gratitude. And actually, one way of being grateful to God is enjoying what God has given us. And probably you know that feeling. You can give a shoe to someone who doesn't have shoes, and when you see them wearing those shoes, you're like, at least my gift is useful to them. And you also know the feeling that when you give them shoes and they're not wearing them and you're wondering what's really going on, what's really happening, maybe it wasn't good. One way that we appreciate God is when we enjoy the gifts that God has given us. And we should not feel guilt to enjoy those gifts. I remember, I used to ask, like, how can I be driving a car when there is starving kids in my village? And I was not being grateful. I was not appreciating the gifts that God has given me. But I need to enjoy the gift that has given me and also be a blessing, to others. However, for us, it is not just enjoying the gifts that God has given us. It is, it is also being grateful when those gifts are taken away, that we can say, "I laid down what's taken from me with gratitude." And the attitude here is that we can say, "I thank God for what he gave me and for the opportunity to enjoy it. I thank God for what he gave me and for the opportunity to enjoy it." Because that way, this attitude focuses more on the giver rather than on the gift. Because it is possible for us to come to God just to come to God to just get something from God and not to see God himself. It is possible to just look at God's hand and see what he gives us. And we can say, "Give me, give me, give me, give me." But actually, God wants us to seek him, to come to him for him. My first smartphone was a BlackBerry. And, at that time when I was getting this phone, I had saved up 2 months worth of salary, 100% of it. I saved it up so that I could get this BlackBerry. And I chose to walk to town because I didn't want to lose, money. Talk about commitment, being committed to saving, money. And I don't know, probably it wasn't a good idea for me to take 100% of my salary that I saved for 2 months for a phone. But hey, I did it. And it was a good phone. It had unlimited internet. Everything was just amazing. It was absolutely beautiful. But one weekend, I went to this Christian event to serve. One morning, I left my phone in the charge. I went to have breakfast. I was coming back, and my phone was gone. I only had it for 2 weeks only. And probably you can feel it. I was mad, outraged. I couldn't believe what was happening, asking, "Why, God, why have you let me experience this?" But however, I was advised that, hey, you don't have to worry. these phones can actually be traced. If you go to the company that you are affiliated with, you can actually go in and they can look for it. So you go to the police, search and get a search warrant, and then you can take it to the company, and then they will look for it. So I was like, oh, cool. So I did those things, and I went to the company. The company said, oh, don't worry about this. You know, we're gonna start searching for this phone, and we'll find it. So I was like, all right, great. I was more hopeful getting out of there, and I gave them 2 weeks. 2 weeks later, I went back, and they said, we have not yet started to search for this phone. And I was like, what? What do you mean you have not really started to search for this phone? So I was really outraged, but hey, I said, you know what? I'm going to give them, a couple more weeks. So after a month, I said, hey, I'm going to go and check back. So I went to check, for this, phone on my way there. And after a month, they said, actually, we have not started to search for this phone. I was like, what? So you can just see how outraged I was. And I was like, you cannot believe what I did for me to get this phone. I cannot believe you guys have not yet started searching for this. And I said, I want to see your manager. And they said, the manager's not here today, but you can come back tomorrow. So I said, all right, I'm going to come back the next day. Yeah, so I started on, and I went the next day. But I was, as I was going there, the following day, I was walking, because all of my money was in this phone, in what I had invested. So I was actually suffering for the same thing that was gone, was not there. So I was outraged, really. And as I was walking there, I remember just God telling me to pause. So I, stood on this tree, and I felt like God just telling me to ask, why was I feeling this way? Why was I mad and outraged? And I was like, yeah, because this is mine. I deserve this. I bought this myself. This is my own sweat. And it was all just me-centered. And I remember in that moment, God saying to me, and what he said to me is, until you say I can live without this, you're not ready to receive from God. Until you say, I can live without this, you're not ready to receive from God. I can live without this, whatever your this is. It could be a job, a career, family, school, relationship, money, possessions, whatever your this is. Until you say, I can live without this, you're not ready to receive from God. And C.S. Lewis says it like this: nothing that you have not given away will ever be really yours. Nothing that you have not given away will ever be really yours. So our attitude here should be, I thank God for what he gave me and for the opportunity to enjoy it. Now, this does not mean that you disregard the reality that you are actually going through a painful season, or that you have lost something that you enjoyed and you're experiencing that pain. This does not mean that you're saying I'm not hurting while you are actually hurting. But this is choosing to believe what is true in the midst of pain, because truth never changes, but circumstances do. What happens to us shouldn't determine our joy, but truth should. And I'm saying that, I'm not saying that you can say I can live without this that thing was bad. I'm not saying that you can say I can live without this relationship because your relationship was bad, or I can live without this job because you didn't like your job and you don't like it anyway, or I can live without this school because you hate those assignments. But I'm actually saying, for the things that you enjoy, the things that you love, that until you say I can live without this, you're not ready to receive from God. Because this is saying that the thing that you enjoy the most, it is God. God is your greatest joy. God is your greatest joy. And what we're learning today from Habakkuk is that your greatest joy is not in what you have, but in who you have. Your greatest joy is not what you have lost, but in whom you are found. And we have to be willing to lay down that which we want it, so that we can gain the God we need. And quickly in this passage, I just wanted us to look at the three principles that we are learning from Habakkuk this morning. And principle number one, you know, of how can we find joy in the midst of pain? Principle number one that we are learning is seeing God as both the giver and the savior. Seeing God as both the giver and the savior. Verse 18 says, I'll rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God, my savior. I'll be joyful in God, my savior. God does give us good things. You know, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, as James chapter 1, 17 says. You know, but God is not only a giver, God is also a savior. Because when you only see God as the giver, you will resent him when he chooses to serve instead of giving. You will resent God when you only see him as a giver. You know, when you see that he doesn't give you the job that you want or the school that you want or maybe the money that you want. But see God as not only a giver, but a savior, because God saves. So the only way that Habakkuk was going to say, I find joy in God when there is a drought, is that he believed that God saves, that God will save. Because we know that it is God who provided the vine in the first place anyway. It is God who gave him the sheep in the first place anyway. It is God who gave the grapes in the first place anyway. So the God who gives is the God who will save. He believed that this hunger won't kill him because God will save him from it. He will not die from this hunger because God will save him from it. In fact, God has saved his people before and he will do it again. So sometimes God chooses saving above giving. You know, just like you remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God did not give them a way out. In fact, he chose to save them. And when the king, declared that every single person in Babylon should bow down to this statue that he created, and these Hebrew boys said, no, we will not bow down. And the king said, all right, okay, you're going to be thrown into a fire. And God didn't give them a way out. In fact, God chose to save them. He allowed them to go in the fire so he can save them, from it. And in the middle of the fire, God saved them, yanked them from the fire. And so sometimes God will choose saving over giving. And trust that God will give you good things, but also trust that he will save you when the bad things happen to you. So I don't know what you're experiencing right now. You might be, you might be experiencing a bad ending in your life. And I don't know what it is, but you have to trust that the God that gave you the good stuff will also save you when the bad things happen to you. He will save you in the middle of trial. He will save you in the middle of pain. So there might be drought. There might be drought in the land. But believe that God will save you from it. Because your greatest joy is not in what you have, but in who you have. Your greatest joy is not in what you have lost, but in whom you are found. So for us to experience joy, we need to see God as both the giver and the savior. Principle number two for us to finding joy is trusting God's ability to decide what's good for you. Trust in God's ability to decide what's good for you. Verse 19 says, the sovereign Lord is my strength. When we say that God is sovereign, what we mean is that God will do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and no one can decide for him. And Habakkuk can only say that he will find joy in God in the middle of an economic crisis, in the middle of drought, because he believed that God is good and God will decide what's good for him. So whenever you experience an ending in your life and see that, there is, and sometimes you can see that there's nothing good that will come out of this. There's nothing good that will come out of this experience. But you have to know that God is good and he gave you the good thing which ended. And God will decide what is good for you. He will decide what is good for you. Because when we experience an ending, it is hard for us to trust that God knows. It is hard for us to trust that God will do for us what is good for us. But we must trust in his ability to do, not only to do good, but we must trust in his ability to decide what is good for us. And just because something is good, that does not mean that good thing is for us. There are some good things that are not really good for us. So we have to trust God, that God will decide what is good for us. And the only way to find joy in God is for us to trust in His ability to decide what is good for us. Because our God is able. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever think or imagine, according to the power that works in us, Ephesians 3, verse 20. So I don't know what's happening with you. You might be going through a moment right now and being like, you know what, I don't understand what's going on. You might be going through a moment right now and saying, you know what, I don't know when this pain is going to end. I don't know when this mess, will end. When will I get out of this mess? But I want to encourage you that you should trust in God's ability to decide what's good for you. Because God is sovereign and God will do what God would do. And we just have to trust Him. Because your greatest joy is not in what you have, but in who you have. Your greatest joy is not in what you have lost, but in whom you are found. He is good, and He will decide what is good for you. And this leads us to the last principle, of how can we find joy in God. And this is, according to Habakkuk, is trusting that God gives His strength to the weak. Trusting that God gives His strength to the weak. Verse 19 says, "The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." Habakkuk had to believe that in the moments he feels the weakest, God will be his strength. And most of you, you have seen that meme that shows the fuel gauge. It shows kind of like two kinds of people. There are people that when their fuel tank is just halfway, they say, "Oh no, I need to fill up my car." But also there are those of us, when we see that our fuel gauge is on E, we say, "I know my car." And I am actually one of them. And I admit that this attitude, the "I know my car" attitude, has gotten me in trouble so many times. I've run out of fuel so many times. And Kate has saved me from those moments. Thank you, babe. I remember a time actually when I ran out of fuel when we were coming to church and I ran out of fuel and had to tell Kate to take a cabaza to come to church. That was not a good moment. So sorry, babe, for that. But, you see it all the time with minibus drivers. They just put a little bit of fuel as they're going to their destination, to just get them there. I remember like 2 days ago, we were going to City Center and we see this minibus guy. His minibus is moving, but he's putting fuel as the car is moving. Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Now, I don't want to defend those of us that actually, see their fuel gauge on the E and we say we are fine. In fact, for me, I actually wanted to go below the E. But I don't want to defend us, but I want to say that often God gives us strength just enough for that day. Now, often God does not give us a full tank. He gives you fuel to just get you to the next destination. And therefore, we do not have to worry. We don't have to worry like, how are we going to get back? God will say, "This is fuel enough to get you to the next destination." And He will provide that which you need for you to come back. So Habakkuk says, "He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." That when you meet a height and you don't have the strength, you are so weak because of an ending that has happened in your life. And when you just want to take that leap of faith, and you take that leap, and God just kind of like pushes you above that height, and you find yourself, on the other side. When you're weak, you don't know how you're going to get through the day. But somehow, God gives you strength for just that moment, just that day. And we have to trust. We have to trust that God will strengthen those who are weak. And you remember the times that you say, "I don't know how I got here, but somehow I got here." Because God just gave you strength for that just one moment, for just that one time. And God does that often, that he gives us strength for just that one moment. So we don't know how we're going to get there. We don't know what is going to happen when we get there. We don't know how we will get out of that situation. But we need to trust in God's ability to strengthen the weak, that God will give us the strength that we need at that time, in that moment, in that season, on that day. Last year, a young person who was coming to our church, lost her life to cancer. Mwai was coming to our church, and there was a day when she was preparing to go to work. And, as she was preparing to go to work, she just felt this pain on her back, and she couldn't walk. She had to be taken to a hospital and started seeing a physio. And because she was here, she said, you know what, I need something to do. So we said, hey, what if you come to our office and you can start working with us? So she started working with us. And it was great. You know, it was a very passionate, energetic young woman. A few months later, she had gone in for tests and they found that she had cancer. She had breast cancer. And I remember, her telling me that, she started chemo. And as she started, I went in to have a conversation with her, and I said, how you feel? And she said, Humphreys, I am so afraid. I'm so scared. In fact, I cannot share this story without getting emotional, because I remember that time when she said, Humphreys, I'm so scared. So she started the chemo, and praise God, a couple months later, she finished it and came to our church, and we celebrated her in church because, hey, she was doing well, she was doing better, she was getting her health back. But a few months later, I was talking to her, and she said, I didn't want to tell you this earlier, but actually they found, cancer on the other side. And I asked her the same, question. I said, how do you feel? And she said, I thank God. I thank God because he gives me strength for the day. How do you get there? How do you get there that you can say, I thank God, when you're going through so much pain? And she said, I thank God that he gives me strength just for the day. And we lost Mwai. And yesterday I was talking to Mwai's mom. And when I was talking to her, I said, how are you doing? And she said, thank you for praying for us. Thank you for remembering us, remembering me. But it's not easy for me. It's very, very hard for me. But I thank God that he just gave me strength for the day. And sometimes God gives us strength for just that moment, for just that day. He gives us dosages of strength for the moment and for the day. Because your greatest strength is not in what you have, but in who you have. Your greatest joy is not in what you have lost, but in whom you are found. And God will give you the strength that you need for just that moment. And we have to trust that God strengthens the weak. That God will give strength to the weak. So where do you need to trust God to decide what's good for you? And what do you need to surrender today to gain God as your greatest joy? Because your greatest joy is not in what you have, but in who you have. Your greatest joy is not in what you have lost, but in whom you have found. Jesus is your greatest joy. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the joy that we find in Jesus. That our greatest joy is not in what we have, but in who we have. Our greatest joy is not in what we have lost, but in whom we have found. And Jesus Christ, you are our greatest joy. And may you be our joy forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast. Please send us your feedback by commenting below or by emailing floodlilongwe@gmail.com.